Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
It's your time on Her Radio. Ask your questions or comment at askher@radiomd.com. Time to ask her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. It's Ask Her time. We've got three great questions. Number one, are there any long-term risks of taking birth control pills? You know, as a physician, I hear this all the time. Gotta always be informed, be your best advocate. So here's the answer. You know, you could take birth control pills as long as you need them or until you reach menopause, as long as you're generally healthy. And this applies to all of them, the combination and progestin-only birth control pills for women who are non-smokers and progestin-only birth control pills for younger women who are smokers. Ew, why are you smoking? Poo. Don't do that. Birth control pills aren't recommended for women, including smokers. Please, especially those age 35 or older, because they're, oh my gosh, you've got so many risks, especially with blood clots. And then again, with women of certain medical conditions, such as blood clotting disorders or uncontrolled high blood pressure, please take this seriously out there, ladies. Come on. And make sure to sit down and talk to your medical care provider about what the best choices are. Would you please put those cigarettes away? You heard me. Some research suggests that prolonged use of birth control pills may increase the risk of cervical cancer. However, the use of birth control pills also decreases the risk of other kinds of cancer, like ovarian and endometrial, right? So the effect of birth control pills on breast cancer isn't clear. We just don't know yet. Plus, remember, there's a whole bunch of different kinds out there. So it's kind of hard to study and control for all of that. Some people, you know, in studies show that there's a slightly increased risk of breast cancer, but that 10 years or more after stopping the pill, a woman's breast cancer risk returns to the same level as if she'd never taken the birth control pill in the first place. All right. Meanwhile, other studies don't support any link. So, hey, what did I just tell you? Sit down with your medical care provider, whoever that may be. Have a conversation. Ask tons of questions. And please, please, please just practice good lifestyle choices. And that means eating well, exercising, and would you please not smoke? Oh, sound like a rant and rave, right? Well, you heard me. I'm a doctor, and I really believe that. All right. What's question number two? I practice yoga a lot. Is that enough for muscle strength, or should I also lift weights? What a totally cool question. I love this one. So here's the answer. The answer is there are yoga poses that increase muscle tone and definition and even muscle size. What you're really doing is lifting your own body weight depending upon the pose. And it takes more skill, time, and determination than if you lift weights. So it kind of gives you a really different experience. I think most experts agree that whether yoga can be your sole form of strength training or not really depends upon your goals. If you want to look like Serena Williams, honey, you should hit the gym and lift some of those weights, right? Because really, at the end of the day, if you really want to build a lot of muscle, weight training is the more practical approach. And a lot of people do want to do that depending upon your sport. You got to kind of customize this for yourself. Yoga is a different experience. It gives you sort of a different balanced way to do strength training. So it offers functional fitness, reducing your risk of injury to perform better things at everything you do, from walking to lifting groceries. It tones your muscles all over your body in balance with each other. Yoga relies on eccentric contractions where the muscle stretches as it contracts, giving the muscles a bit of a more sleek, elongated look while increasing flexibility. It also increases muscle endurance. So that's kind of cool stuff. And so a lot of these poses really challenge your body in a very different way and than just sitting there and hammering in the gym. So you're going to get that sleek look And it really, again, depends upon what your goals are. Me, I'll tell you what I do. I do both. I love yoga. You know why? It keeps me flexible and toned, and it allows me to use all my muscles a little differently than if I just sit there and hammer out some biceps curls, which I love to do. So I do both. So you go out there and you do some trial and error and customize it for yourself. Cool? All right. Now, here's the next question. What are some best practices for heart health in women? Well, you know, heart health's a big boy, and it's not breast cancer that's the number one killer of women. You heard me right. It's heart disease. Heart disease nails women big time. It's the number one. So what can you do? Well, there are a whole bunch of things you can do. You could avoid tobacco. We're back to that subject again. Smoke from cigarettes, cigars, pipes is as bad for the heart and arteries as it is for the lungs. If you smoke, quitting is the biggest gift you can give yourself. Secondhand smoke is murder. It's also toxic. Yeah, studies show that the risk of developing heart disease is about 25 to 30% higher for people exposed to secondhand smoke at home or at work. According to the American Heart Association, exposure to tobacco smoke contributes to about 34,000 premature heart disease deaths and 7,300 lung cancer deaths each year. Non-smokers who have high blood pressure or high cholesterol are at even greater risk for developing heart disease. So please, please, please remember that the chemicals emitted from cigarette smoke promote the development of plaque buildup in the arteries. Poo! So I know I sound like a broken record. Please, please do not smoke or be in the presence of people who do. The next thing is be active. Exercise is so awesome, right? It's really important. Any amount of activity is better than none, at least 30 minutes a day. And when you can, you know, ramp it up here a little bit, for crying out loud. Now, when I talk about activity, I'm talking about not sitting for too long at one time, too. We now have incredible evidence from research that shows that people who sit the most have an associated 147% increase in heart disease and a 90% increase in death caused by heart disease. Did you hear me? Did that just blow your mind or what? Next thing is, please eat well. Whole foods. Whole foods, and not that processed food. Avoid trans fats and saturated fats. Go for the healthy fats. Hello, avocados and nuts and virgin olive oil. And then please sleep. Get enough sleep. Sleep's an essential part of keeping your heart healthy. If you don't sleep enough, you may be at higher risk for heart disease, no matter your age. Studies show that, you know, when you look at 3,000 adults over the age of 45, those who slept fewer than 6 hours per night were twice as likely to have a stroke or heart attack as people who slept 6 to 8 hours per night. You heard it right. And you heard it here at Her Radio. There are great things you can do to be able to help yourself. Okay, so those are the heart healthy remedies. You heard them all. Be active. Avoid that smoking. Try to aim for a healthy weight. Get those whole foods on board. Please, please, please. And then, of course, yoga. It's not a matter of lifting weights or doing yoga. You could do both. It so depends upon your goals. Know what your goals are, no matter what. And in terms of birth control pills, yeah, you could take them, but you gotta stay healthy. And don't smoke either. Oh boy, rant and rave time. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and shoot more of these marvelous questions to us at askher@radiomd.com. Stay well. We'll